Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Once again, broadcasting at the Alabama State House, becoming your Wednesday ritual here. Very grateful to State House Majority Leader Scott Stadhagen and his staff, especially putting up with the needs of a radio show. In the meantime, you want to be in touch, 251-343-0106. Just text me. That's the best way to get in touch with the program. Tentative schedule booking here, but about a half hour from now, my good friend, State Senator Dan Roberts from Mountain Brook will be with us, and that's at the bottom of the hour. So stick around if you are able to. But joining us now, and I have not been able to get her on this show, but I am very glad that she's made time for us. But from our neck of the woods, finally somebody from Mobile, State Representative Margie Wilcox. Representative, thanks for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. I didn't mean to play hard to get, but this year I've got a lot of responsibilities with boards, agency, commission, the Joint Transportation Committee, and so our schedules conflicted.
I'll say this. I've been here for a few years now, but you always have an open invitation on the show. And
thank you.
I'm not going to ambush you or anything, so you don't be a stranger. But we are glad you are here today. Very thankful. I want to get you on to talk about a couple of things. Before we get into your bills here, just how things are going. You're kind of a veteran at this point. Things seem to be moving along at a pretty decent pace. I think it's a much different leadership than Speaker McCutcheon. You do sense it's the Speaker-led better era in the House. But, the calendars, you're getting through some calendars. You're gaveling in on time. Things seem to really be clicking.
Yeah, and I'm a stickler for being on time. I get in there early. I'm always on time and I appreciate that our Speaker is on time. I have served under both Hubbard, McCutcheon, and now Speaker Ledbetter. Love them all. I do think that Speaker Ledbetter's style of management closer resembles mine as far as being on point and on time. Now, do we always agree? No, because I am me and he is him. So the times that we disagree, I get put in time out in his office. I don't enjoy that part. But, thank goodness he put me on his leadership team, gave me a couple of good committees with Sunset, Boards, Agency, Commission. And we're trying to do the good work of what the Republican caucus and of what our citizens need. So Sunset, the oversight of all of our occupational boards, that's something that I've really changed up the management of that committee. And we have, superstars on that committee like Representative Carrie Underwood, who has gone in and attacked some of the formulas. We're now getting four extra checks from the 911 board to our local communities. So we're not just rubber stamping these boards. We're taking time to look at what they're doing and how they're doing it and trying to make the state better for our people that work in the state.
You mentioned Representative Underwood, former mayor of Tuscumbia. It's interesting to watch this chamber work in the different walks of life, but as a former mayor, he kind of fits into that, fills that a need, if you will, to get that perspective that you might want.
Well, he and I are from the opposite ends of the state.
Right.
Probably opposite backgrounds. I have not, I have really found him to be one of the freshman members that I go to. I requested that he be on Sunset. He's delivered with what I thought he could do. We have a great team on Sunset, so I don't mean to be calling him out as the only one because we have a couple of good attorneys. We've got Representative Shedd, who's a good longstanding member that has a lot of historical knowledge. Representative Matt Simpson, who is our resident attorney on the House. And then, of course, I love, love, love serving with Senator Barfoot. I didn't really know him until I co-chaired this committee with him, and I really enjoy him. I really do. And Senator Chambliss on Joint Transportation Committee.
Well, we got two Montgomery guys there, right?
Right, yeah. Who would have thought?
Well, let's get into it here. You got a couple of bills here. Let's start out with the hearing aid bill, and this is important to you, and so you talk to us a little bit about it and the taxation on that and where we are.
Well, I'm very pleased this year to be bringing constituent-led bills. So my constituent, Dink Stevens, called me a couple of months ago and said, you know, Margie, I mean, he was a motocross bike rider, you know, so I think he's in probably some rock concerts too many. And so he suffered a hearing loss, and he said, do you know that I went to go buy hearing aids? He and his wife had to get hearing aids, and he was happy because he had insurance coverage for it. But when he went to go leave, they're like, oh, excuse me, you got to go to the checkout desk. And he goes, no, my insurance company paid for it. They said, oh, yeah, but you owe us $1,100 for the taxes and your copay. So $1,000 of it was taxes. Well, thank goodness he's working, has a good job, and was able to pay that. But then got him to thinking, my Lord, what about the people that are, you know, much more limited income that can't afford that? So he called me up, and I totally agreed. I had no idea that Alabama taxes hearing aids. Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida do not. So here we are taxing our citizens when all the surroundings and many other states across, but you know, we tend to try to figure out what the South is doing in our surrounding states. But we are one of the very few states that tax hearing aids. And I came up here being an advocate for the disabled and the senior citizens, and this is right up my alley. So this bill means a lot to me, and I'm pushing it real hard.
I mean, what could the fiscal of that possibly be? How much money could the state raise off of hearing aids?
They really haven't come up with an exact number, but the fiscal note on it is $3.1 million. The only thing that I was a little upset about is that the Education Ways and Means Committee put an amendment on it this morning that said that counties and municipalities can opt into this. So that means that the listeners and the viewers and the people that love this bill as much as I do, after this bill passes the House and the Senate and the governor signs it, then they need to contact their local municipality and their county government, ask that they opt in. I wanted to remove it on the counties and municipalities, everything. I wanted it across the board. We're doing this for the disability community. Graham Sisson over with the Office of Disabilities for the governor's office, he's behind it. He's trying to encourage the governor to be behind it. So I wanted the tax removed all across the board. I didn't get that today, so I'm sitting before you very disappointed, but that's life. Hopefully, maybe I can get some friendly senators upstairs to do my bidding.
Well, so hopefully, like, you know, when we did the grocery tax, you had to warn these local governments, don't be raising the tax to compensate for it. Do you worry about that?
Well, I mean, I feel their pain, and they're very well represented by the League of Municipalities. They're my friends. I like the League of Municipalities. I happen to disagree with them on this, and their argument is this: the potato chip rule. You know, a lot of the municipalities, this is how they fund their government. So I can't be too mad. I'm not really mad. I'm kicking up a fuss just to be dramatic.
Come on. Hearing aids, like, how many people, I mean, how much could any
municipality? And who actually wants a hearing aid, okay? Do you actually sit around and think, I want a hearing aid? No. Your wife, your friend, your loved one is telling you, you need a hearing aid.
I'm with you on this. Whatever we got to do here.
Get your viewers. Let's get on it.
These municipalities have no business taxing hearing aids.
Nobody. The state of Alabama should be ashamed.
Ice cream cones or something, but not hearing aids, guys. But, keep us updated on that, because I guess, where is that bill now as it moves forward?
It will go to the House floor, and I got to go fill out a piece of paper to make sure that happens. I do have the rules chair is expecting it, so I'll go fill out that little piece of paper. I'll go beg some of my fellow members to pick it in the rules committee, and hopefully it'll be up pretty soon.
That's how you do it. That's a game plan right there, ladies and gentlemen. Before we got about five more minutes here.
All right. Well, let me monopolize that time.
So, business privilege tax. Let's have a loophole here that you're trying to fix. So we'll
talk
to us about that.
House Bill 230. Back when we were trying to eliminate the business privilege tax, there was a fee that when you paid that, it was $10 that went to the Secretary of State. Somehow we unintentionally created a brand new reporting requirement for businesses in the state of Alabama. I can assure you that was none of our intent. So, actually, former city councilman John Williams called me mad as a wet set hen Saturday afternoon. He was angry. He manages his wife's dental practice. So he called me up and was just screaming because he couldn't get the right stuff filled out. He was mad that, you know, he was having to spend another hour filling out another reform so that they could do business in the state of Alabama. So this bill fixes that. And I mentioned that Representative Kerry Underwood is the co-sponsor. He's a CPA. He does a lot of returns for the small businesses. And he said, oh, good Lord, this is just another report that I might forget, and then I'm going to have to pay it for my clients. So it was, this created a burden on all businesses, but particularly on small businesses, because we don't need to be coming up with requirements that they've got to go and create a whole new ID and a whole new report. And they got to, you know, we're proud that they pay their taxes, but now we've got to go make them do something else. It was just, it was unintentional, and House Bill 230 seeks to remedy that. And that will be held in next week. I couldn't get it in committee this week just by virtue of time. It has to have a couple of readings, but that'll be held by the state government committee next Wednesday. I've already gotten assurances from Chairman Sells that he'll be hearing that.
Feedback from other lawmakers, it seems like a no-brainer, right?
Well, first of all, it's hot off the presses. I just dropped it yesterday. So the first person I called was the chairman to get on his agenda. But everybody that I've talked to has been very supportive of it. I can't imagine that, you know, any Republican in their right mind would be against it. And we all are a business-friendly state, business-friendly legislature. So I'll go out and call it, and hopefully this bill should be easy passing. National Federation of Independent Small Businesses is for it. I think they're reaching out to BCA. We're trying to garner some other support, but I think that just on its face value for what it does for small business and business, it should pass.
It's not going to take a full court press, a heavy lift, phone call from everybody to get this done.
Oh, I go nuts on everybody on every bill I do. So,
really?
You know, it doesn't matter. When I drop a bill, I'm passionate about the bill. You'll notice I don't pass a bunch of them.
No.
I'm not Chip Brown. I don't do like 50 bills a session. Love Chip Brown. I just had to throw that out there and pick on him.
Well, and 50 bills, and as a guy in the media, 50 press releases a session, too. I like Chip Brown, too. He's a good friend of the program. We're joined by State Representative Margie Wilcox here on the program. Just a couple of minutes here.
Can I talk about who's with me?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm real happy that I've got some of my childhood friends from grammar school, middle school, and high school. Theodore High School, 1980. Whoop, whoop. All right. My friend Krista Davis is here from Wetumpka. Diane Jones from Alabaster. Terry Varner from Mobile. Karen Peacock-Hoof from Theodore, and now lives in the big town of Wilmer, Alabama. And we've got Becky Loper. She lives off DIP. And we all graduated Theodore High School, class of 1980. They're here with me today. I love it. I've never had my friends. I mean, I've had a couple of friends pop up, but basically we're spending the whole day together. They've gone to all my committee meetings, and now they're seeing why I never have a chance to talk to them while we're in session.
Well, hopefully next time, ladies, y'all come up, do State House maybe. How you feel about that? You looking forward to that?
They are. I actually have a real nice office and I love it, so I'm probably the only one that's going to be a little sad.
Well, you got a little seniority there, so that's how it works.
Yeah, so, I mean,
right?
While we're on COVID, I snuck into a big office that used to be April Weaver's, and I love it. So I get to have committee meetings and stuff in my office. But I will be so tickled to be on the same floor as the Senate so that they don't think they're above us all the time.
Well, there is that. Symbolically, that's how they look upon us.
I love those princes up there. I love them. I do.
Everything else going well for you this session? I mean, there's been some hard things with the gambling, it's school choice. I think this ethics thing could get, you know, contentious as well. But, you've seen these fights before.
Well, first of all, on gaming, Mobile County voted for gaming 50 years ago. We're 45 minutes from Biloxi. I can't even go down grocery shopping that somebody doesn't tell me how much they want a lottery. They want to be able to vote on gaming. So that was a vote that I voted yes on. I still feel good about it. I want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to cast their vote whenever they bring it up for a vote. I want the citizens to be able to vote on it. So I'm comfortable with that vote. School choice. I was particular to make sure that the funding wasn't hurt for our public schools. I was sensitive to that. I had a lot of questions. I didn't become a hard yes on that until I got some of my concerns answered by Chairman Garrett, and I also consulted with Chairman Collins. But there is no denying that Alabama needs to improve education, that we need to give parents choices. So all along, I wanted to give the parents choices, and I wanted to be able to give them the funds back that they're paying into taxes to do that. But I did not want it to be to the detriment of public schools. So I think with this bill, that threaded that needle, and we'll see how that goes.
And then we got ethics. We'll see where that heads. That's always the third rail, right?
You know, that's a toughie. That is a tough one. I trust Chairman Simpson. He has worked so hard on this. So I have listened to part of it. I've still got to have my Ethics 101 class. I think we're going to get in one of my next meetings where they go through the bill and give us the particulars of it. So I do like to reserve where I'm at until I actually get to read the bill, because it gets amended and changed so much that I don't even pay attention to they get in their final form.
Well, Representative, you're very kind to come on this morning. And like I said, don't be a stranger.
Well, thank you for having me and my friends. Thank you.
Thank you. State Representative Margie Wilcox, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.